open your Bibles with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I'm going to begin reading at verse 42. Matthew 24, 42. The title of the message, two words. And you'll understand why I entitled the message as I did. So doing. So doing. Matthew 24, verse 42. Now listen to the reading of the word. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, I've got plenty of time to set my house in order, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him asunder, cut him off, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, verse 42, let's start back there and see what the Lord is saying here. You watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. Judging from the context, and let's always be careful to do that when we're reading a portion of Scripture, read what's before it and what's after it. And judging from the context, our Lord is speaking of his return to the earth. That's what he's talking about here. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now he said to his disciples, and the Scripture is plain on this. He said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then when he took his, after his crucifixion and resurrection, he took his disciples out to a mountain and blessed them and talked to them. And the Scripture says, as they beheld, he ascended up into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He told them that he would go away, that he would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. But they watched him go away into heaven. And they stood there and stared into the heavens where they had watched him go. And suddenly two men in white apparel stood next to them, angels of God, and said, ye men of Israel, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which you have seen taken up into heaven, shall so come. He's coming again in like manner as you've seen him go. In fact, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. As you have seen him go, this same Jesus, is coming back. And Paul commended the church at Corinth for waiting on the coming of the Lord. And when he talked about God's elect in 1 Thessalonians 1, one of the things he said about them is they were waiting for his Son from heaven. They expected him. They expected him to come again. And there are many people today who are preaching a great deal about the second coming of the Lord, the return of Christ to this earth. They do a lot of studying. They make up a lot of charts. They do a lot of preaching. And they make much of his second coming. Some are very good, some of the messages. His coming in great glory and power. And it, we should do that. We should make much of the coming of our Lord. He will come again. He will come again. It'll be a great day. It'll be the day of the Lord, the day of his great power and victory. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. John wrote about it over here in, Revelation. He said in Revelation, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they'll be his people, and God will be their God. And he'll wipe all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." And he sat on the throne and said, "Behold, I make all things new." Won't that be a wonderful day? I make all things new. But I ask you this question. Is not the believer's death, when we come to the end of our time, I was reading the song written by Martin Luther, those great words. You love it, John. I see so many of you men. He died at 63. He was younger than any of us three when he died. And so when he died, was not that not the coming of the Lord for him? And when God, when I've reached the end of God's prescribed journey here and my days are ended and I leave this earth, did not the Lord come for me? That's his coming. He said to his disciples, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be." And I'll tell you, when he is pleased to take me out of this world, he has come for me. He has come for me that where he is, there I may be. Isn't that right? I would not myself or have you be so taken up with the last days on this earth, the last days of this earth. There's a lot of people who are taken up with the last days of this earth, conditions and things that will prevail and conditions that will exist and all these things, as much as I would have you taken up with your last days on the earth. Which is most important, John? The last days of the earth or my last days on the earth? Now, that's the important thing. You see, when Christ said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also," that is the goal and end of faith, to be with Christ. Paul said, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ," which is far better. So when I depart, I'm with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When I'm absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. And all of these events and advents and circumstances that they're predicting at the coming of the Lord have nothing to do with me. In reality, I'm already with the Lord. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we'll see him, we'll be like him." And is that not my goal? And when you and I leave this earth, we're going to see the Lord, we're going to be like him. And those, when he comes again, if I'm still living on this earth, same thing, I'm going to see him and be like him. And he that hath this hope purifieth himself. What hope? The second coming is not the hope. The Lord is the hope. The blessed hope is Christ, and to be see him and be like him. It's not a reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years and all these other things that they're predicting will take place, the restoration of the Jews and all this sort of thing. The blessed hope is to see the Lord and be like him. So when you and I, when we come to the end of life's journey and the Lord comes for us, that's his coming. And that's what he's saying here. Watch therefore, you know not the hour when your Lord doth come. See what I'm saying? Watch. You don't know the hour when your Lord will come. The rapture is meaningless to a man who's not redeemed. No need for me to spend this whole morning hour talking about the rapture, about which I know so very little. The reign of Christ here on the earth, what difference does it make if he reigns or doesn't reign on this earth? If we are in him, we'll reign with him wherever he reigns. See, that's the important thing. It's not the reign of Christ on earth that's important. It's the reign of Christ in your heart. That's what's important. And these other things become insignificant. Whatever God's pleased to do for his glory and the good of his church and his kingdom, well, amen, so be it. But I'll tell you what, I want to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. You know, I hear these preachers predicting when Christ will come. I remember even back when I was a boy, a lot of them had missed it back in the 1900s. But when Mussolini arose, he was the Antichrist. They figured up his initials and all these things. And then I think somebody else was there. Pope John Paul was the Antichrist. And then Ronald Reagan came in office, and Ronald Wilson Reagan, that's 666, you know. They figured he was the Antichrist. Had that all figured up. The Lord is setting dates. And then I read in the paper where some folks sold their property and disposed of their goods and quit their jobs and went out here on a mountain to look for the Lord. Let's don't spend our time looking up into the skies for the Lord. Let's look in here and see if he reigns by grace and through faith in the heart. That's the main thing. And whatever appears in the sky will be all right. But I'll make a prediction. A bold prediction. Christ is coming in the next 20 years. Christ is coming in the next 20 years. Are you sure, preacher? It'll be inside of 30. You sure? I'm sure. He's coming for me. I'm sure of that. Is that all right? He's coming. Christ is coming in the next 20 years. John, he's coming next. I guarantee it, don't you? For you and me. I just guarantee it. Maybe 25. But he's coming. He's coming for me. And that'll be his coming. Will it not? That will be his coming. When he comes for me, that'll be his coming. And as far as I'm concerned, what takes place after that is immaterial. For my eternal glory has already been attained. I am with Christ and like Christ. You see, my part in his second coming depends upon my part in his first coming. My part in his second coming depends totally upon my thoughts toward his first coming. Why he came, what he did on that cross, and why he did it and where he is now. You understand what I'm saying? And if I could possibly wean the heart, this heart and your heart, from idle speculation and being taken up with the future, I'd do it, because I think the greatest responsibility we have is to know Christ now. Christ now. And then when he comes, at whatever hour he comes, I don't know when, He just says for me to watch. You know not the hour when your Lord shall come. Just watch. Just watch. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. It's a matter of days. Job said, in a few days I'll go the way from which I shall not return. Look at verse 44. All right, since you don't know the day or the hour when your Lord will come for you, be ye ready. For such an hour as you think not, the Lord, the Son of God, comes. Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Ready for what? Ready for what? Ready to meet him. Now, Wednesday morning, this coming Wednesday morning, Darcy and I will be standing on the border between the United States and Mexico. This coming Wednesday morning, Milton said at 6 a.m., we're going to cross the border into Mexico. And when I come to the border there, I've done this several times, not on the border, but at the airport. This will be at the border. I'm going to meet a Mexican customs inspector, a man with a badge on and some books in his hand who represents the Mexican government. I'm going to meet him. I'm going to meet him. Darcy's going to meet him. Milton and Claudia are going to meet him individually, one at a time. And he's going to determine whether or not I go into Mexico. This one man that I meet, Terry, he's going to say, go home or come in. That one man. I need three things to satisfy that one man. I need three things. Number one, I need a proof of citizenship. I need a passport or a birth certificate to prove I'm a citizen of the United States. I got to have that. I can't get it. If I don't have that, he says, go on back home. That's right. Secondly, I need a visa. A visa is a permit to enter the country and stay there. In other words, a visa has been filled out and is given to you as credentials that permit you to stay at this prescribed, for this prescribed that time, 30 days, 60 days, whatever, in Mexico. The third thing, and I don't know whether some of you have been down and have seen this, but when they look at your passport and your visa and your name, they've got a book over here with a whole bunch of names in it alphabetically listed. Undesirables. Criminals. And if my name appears on that book, I don't go in. You see what I'm saying? First, I need proof of citizenship. Secondly, I need permission from the government to associate with the Mexican people. And then I must not be in that book. Well, am I ready? I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't have any doubt I'm going in. I am a citizen. I do have a visa. Milton's already gotten it. And thirdly, I'm not on that list. Well, this says for me to be ready to meet someone else. And I don't know when this is going to be. But I'm down here on this earth, and someday God's coming for me. And I'm going to meet the Lord of glory. And Bob, I'm going to need three things. Number one, I need to be a citizen. I need to be born again. That's right. We're born children of God, you see. We're born the second time. We're born the first time by our natural parents. We're born the second time with the Spirit of God. Born of God. Except a man's born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless I've been born of the Spirit of God, unless I'm a citizen. I'm a child of God. I'm in the kingdom of God. By his grace, through his of his own will, begat he us through the word of truth. We're born of the Spirit of God through faith in Christ. We're sons of God. Beloved, now are we sons of God. We're citizens. When God comes for me, I'll be going home. Because that's where my citizenship is. I'm a son of God. But secondly, I need a permit. A visa. You know what that is? Well, a visa tells you that the Mexican government will let you come in and associate with their people. And the visa I'm talking about that permits me to enter heaven is a righteousness that permits me to associate with those people of God. A holy people demands, a holy place demands a holy people. And that righteousness is not mine, it's Christ. It's one that He gave to me. He imputed to me by His own obedience. And by God's grace, I have that. I have citizenship, and I have a righteousness, not mine. If I depended on my righteousness, they wouldn't let me in. But I'm going to be clothed in His righteousness. And then thirdly, I must not be on that book of undesirables. I must not be. All of my sins have got to be taken out of the books. See, God says books were going to be open. And men will be judged out of those things written in the books. Every secret deed will be brought to light. Every idle word. Well, Christ already took that book and washed it and paid for it, and there's nothing written there. So when that one who's in charge of heaven's entrance, one thing, I'm a child of the King by the blood of Christ. I have a visa. I have a righteousness in Christ. And when he looks at the book and finds all the sins of all the men of all ages, my name's not there because Christ put it away. You see what I'm saying? Be ye also ready. Be ready. That's the way to be ready. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Such an hour as you think not, your Lord doth come. Now, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, that faithful, wise servant whom the Lord hath given certain gifts, talents, ability, and responsibilities. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord does come, will find him so doing. So doing. So doing. Who is this faithful, wise servant? Well, I had a talk with one of our elders recently. Now, I have a pretty good idea when I'm going to cross the border into Mexico Wednesday morning. If not, then Thursday morning. But I don't have the slightest idea when the Lord's going to call me home. And it may be that I won't return from this trip. There are certain dangers there. There are plane flights and there are trips over mountains. And it may be the Lord's will to come for me this week or some of you while I'm gone. The Lord may come for you. Will He find you so doing? So doing. Well, what's this so doing? Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a preacher of His gospel. He's appointed me a teacher of His household. He says here, He's made you ruler over His household to give them meat and to feed my sheep. Isn't that what it's for? Isn't that what He called us for? To feed my sheep. Be faithful in worship, in preaching, to feed my sheep. And I said to this elder, I said, I pray that if the Lord is pleased to take me away from this church in the next week or the next year, these elders, there are six elders here, and they are a pulpit committee. I've already designated them to be a pulpit committee. They are elders, they rule well, counted worthy of double honor. They're faithful men of the word. They're gifted preachers, but they're pulpit committee. And I would expect them to find a man who is faithful and wise servant who will give meat to his sheep. Food, that's the first thing. That man will feed the sheep, preach the word of God. Secondly, encourage all of the families of this church. Be faithful, especially to the young families. You see how many young families are here, mother and dad and children, coming up under this gospel, and they need somebody for the next 20, 30, or 40 years to do the same thing I've tried to do, so doing, to be faithful to these young people. Love them and preach to them and pray for them and teach them the Word of God. And find somebody to be faithful to our missionaries. Brother Walter told me one time we were talking about the time I'd been here as pastor, and he said, well, I sure hope when you're gone and they call somebody else, they'll call somebody that likes me. I hope you do too. God help you if you don't. We have Ken Weimer and his family in Africa, Bill Clark and his family in England, Dan Parks and his family in Tortola, Walter Gruber and his family in Mexico, Milton Howard and his family in Mexico, other ministers and churches that we're helping, supporting. You elders, I charge you before God to, when that day comes, you find somebody that will stand here and will stand in the gap and back those men and their families and love them and be generous to them and give and pray for them, go and see them. And I'll tell you, not only those missionaries, but to promote other preachers and churches. We're not here to promote ourselves. We're not here to call attention to ourselves. We're not here just to promote 13th Street Baptist Church. God Almighty is not going to send revival in the walls of a building. If He sends His presence and His Spirit and revival, it'll be wherever His sheep are found. Let's be as interested, just as interested in the work at Cherokee and Fairmont and Fayetteville and Houston and Rocky Mount as we are in this work, right? Just as interested. Isn't that right? Pray for these young men and their families and help them and support them. And that's what he's saying. When the Lord comes, blessed is that servant that he finds so doing. So doing. Isn't that right? So doing. Doing what? He made you a ruler. He made you a teacher. He made you an elder. He gave you gifts. Elders worthy of double honor, you men, when God comes for me, I'd be happy for Him to take me while I'm going to preach to somebody. Finds me so doing. And when He comes, He better find you so doing. Without let up. And then I'll say this to you fathers, you parents. Isn't that true? God's made you ruler over a household? Over a household? You have children, a wife, a household. Can you say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord? Blessed is that servant when the Lord comes for him. He'll find him what? So doing. Doing what He called him to do. Doing what He put him here to do. Fulfilling a responsibility. The faithful steward. Many of you people here and people listening to this tape in days that to come when Ronnie will mail it out to other places in this country. God's entrusted you with goods and services and ability to relieve the needs of people. Are you so doing? Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man, that servant, whom He hath given responsibility. When the Lord comes for him, you'll find him what? So doing. Just doing it. Brother Barnard one time was holding a meeting somewhere, and a young man said, I want to talk to you. Barnard said, all right, I'll meet you this afternoon, 3 o'clock to church. Came down, the young man walked in, they exchanged pleasantries. And then the young man looked at Brother Barnard, and Brother Barnard looked at him. Barnard said, well, what are you going to see me about? Well, he said, Brother Barnard, I want to serve the Lord. Barnard said, well, do it. Do it. What your hand finds to do, He's given you. Some of you are full hands. Some of you are full head. Some of you are other responsibilities. Do it. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when He comes, will find him. So do it. The faithful witness. God's placed you in a certain place with certain people to adorn the doctrine, to glorify His name. Do it. The faithful musician, do it. The faithful organist or pianist or church secretary, or treasurer or finance committee or custodian. Do it. You see, blessed is that man when his Lord comes will find him so doing. The faithful servant of the church in whatever capacity. I don't want him to come and find me giving people trash from the pulpit, do you? I don't want him to come and find me with my silver and gold in a box somewhere waiting for rainy days. Rainy days may not come. And the canker of that gold and silver will rise up in judgment against me. God's entrusted me with certain things. Blessed is that servant when his Lord comes will find him so doing. I don't want him to come and find me causing discord and division among the people of God. Wouldn't that be horrible? Wouldn't that be horrible? For the Lord to come and find me out of fellowship with you and causing the pastor and others grief and making it difficult for them to preach by my attitude. Wouldn't that be horrible for him to come and find me doing that? When he told me to strive for the unity of the fellowship and the unity of the people and the blessings of the people, and he comes and finds me dividing, causing heartache, out of fellowship. Comes and finds me. See, that's what that wicked servant said down here in verse 48. He said, that evil servant said to himself, my Lord delays, he's coming. I'm not going to die today. He's not coming for me today. You know, he said to Hezekiah, you set your house in order, you're going to die. You're going to die. Now, friends, you can't separate belief and conduct. Blessed, I wish I could look at this verse and get it across to you, verse 46. Blessed is that servant, and that's all we are. We're servants. It doesn't matter who you are, you're just a servant. That's all I am, just a servant. When his Lord does come, he'll find him so doing. Whatever he's given me to do, whatever task he's given me to do, find me doing it. Find me doing it. For he said in verse 47, verily I say unto you, he'll make him ruler over all his goods. What's that talking about? That's talking about entering into the inheritance. All things are yours. You see, all things are Christ. He's the heir, Bob, and I'm a joint heir. And when he comes, finds me so doing, takes me home, I'm going to enter into the presence of our Lord. And so are you. And I'm going to be an heir with Christ Jesus, a joint heir with the Son of God. Isn't that something to think about? Isn't that something? There was a wealthy king, powerful, wealthy king, that had what they call a jester. You know what a jester is. It's a fellow that entertains the king and his court, wears the pointed hat with the bells and all these things, entertains everybody, acts a fool. And the king called him in one day, and he said, he called him Sir Fool. That was his nickname, but Sir Fool, Sir Fool. Called him in one day, he said, Sir Fool, he said, you're the biggest fool in this world. I suppose you're the biggest fool I've ever met. And he said, I got a present for you. And he pulled out a present, a characteristic of kings. This was a walking cane, a beautiful hand-carved walking cane, with a gold head on it, gold, solid gold head. It was a treasure. And he handed it to him, and he said, Sir Fool, he said, I'm going to give you this walking cane. And if you ever find anybody that's a bigger fool than you are, give it to him. Pass it along. He bowed and thanked his majesty. Went on with his foolish work, entertaining people. And the word came to him several years later that the king wanted to see him again in his private chambers. And he went up to the king's bedroom. The king was dying. The king was seriously ill and was dying, and he asked the fool to come in and wanted to tell him goodbye. And Sir Fool stood by the bed, and the king looked at him and said, it's the last time I see you. I want to tell you goodbye. You've been a good servant, and you've entertained well, and I want to tell you goodbye. And the Sir Fool said, where's your majesty going? He said, I don't know. He said, when are you coming back? He said, never. He said, what preparation have you made for the journey? The king paused, and a tear came in his eye, and he said, I fear I've made no preparation. And the fool said, Your Majesty, you're going away. You don't know where. And you're never coming back. And you haven't made any preparation for the journey? He said, that's right. He handed him the walking cane. He said, Your Majesty, this is yours. You're a bigger fool than I am. And that's what our Lord's saying here. Watch, you know not the hour when your Lord doth come. So be ye also ready. You're going to meet someone at the border, and he's going to require what he has to require. What he has to require: a righteousness, a clean record, and a proof of citizenship. And be ye also ready. Blessed is that man. Blessed, and why not me? Why not me? Why not you? Why would we get involved in anything else that had nothing to do with this journey? I don't want to be a fool. Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be that you've stored up and accumulated?